You're listening to season 6 of Upside Down Podcasts. This is Lindsay Wallace.
I'm Kayla Craig.
I'm Patty Taylor.
And I'm Elisa Molina. Upside Down Podcast is an ecumenical conversation at the intersection of justice, spirituality, and culture.
And we have created this space with you in mind.
So join us for unscripted conversations on God's Upside Down Kingdom.
Welcome to season 6 of Upside Down Podcast. I'm Elisa Molina, and I will be your host for today's episode. I am so excited to be joined by Lindsay Wallace, Kayla Craig, and Patricia Taylor. Show notes can be found on Instagram at Upside Down Podcast. It would be amazing if you would subscribe, rate, and review our show, because that gives everybody a way to find us in this booming podcast market. Our Patreon is also a great place to support us, and it keeps the lights on. I'm really excited about today's topic because I feel like I have so much to learn, and also I have a lot to say. And so I don't really know how that works since I'm actually hosting it. If I'm going to get a lot to say, but maybe I'll just do it on the socials. Today we are
here to listen to you, Elisa. Don't even.
Today we are going to tackle persisting in boundaries. Dum dum dum. So I really am excited for the four of us to tackle this topic. I feel like each of us have really been doing some boundary work in our own personal, professional, just all sorts of spaces. And so I feel like I have a lot to learn from each of you. And yeah, I have about 10 million questions. So we're just going to jump right in. The first thing I did in preparation for this was I was like, okay, let me get with the working definition of boundaries. And so I did some research, and I really loved this one article that said, when you first hear the word boundary, you think, oh, like that's shutting people out. It can be a little bit misleading because it kind of conveys that you're trying to keep yourself separate. But actually, boundaries are connecting points because they provide healthy rules for navigating relationships, intimate or professional. One thing that I read basically said, like, it's not a wall. It's really giving people doorways to pass through into your space. And so being very kind of transparent about what those doorways are. And so I'd like to start with the idea of boundaries actually being a sign of healthy relationships. This was mind-blowing for me. And I kind of wanted to see where you guys each are in this kind of idea that boundaries are something that provide a level of healthy, a level of health in our relationships.
Yeah. So I am totally on board with the idea of boundaries being a way of being in healthy relationships. I think what I would take issue with in this idea is the separateness, because I do think of boundaries as a way of establishing this is where I end and the other person begins, right? And so it's a way of differentiating who I am as a human and who someone else might be as a human, and the way that our relationship interacts. But for me, I do think of it as like a separateness, and not like this is a wall that will never be crossed in terms of relationship, but more just like, this is where I end, this is where you begin, and this is how we can be in relationship with one another in a way that's healthy for both of us.
Yeah, I like that.
I think for me right now, in this intense season of mothering young children at home 24/7 for what seems like a never-ending experiment of time, I am realizing that I need to set boundaries, and it doesn't make me like a bad mom to be like, okay, mom's gonna go, you know, do this, and I'm gonna take some time to myself, because it's so much of a pouring out, and I want to be there, and I want to be there all the time and to give my kids what they need. But then, you know, there comes to a point where it's too much pouring out and there's nothing left to give, you know? And so how do I set those boundaries that are healthy and good for everybody, so then it doesn't get to that point where I'm like totally depleted and trying to like figure out how to make things better as it goes. And I think that whether or not you're a parent, we've all probably been there where it's like you realize you could have used boundaries too late. And then it's like, oh, what do I do now? So I'm kind of in this process of trying to figure out how to do it and giving myself permission that it's actually a good thing and that doesn't, it's not a bad thing. Because I think I struggle a lot with like guilt for that.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm kind of looking at this question in two different ways. The first, I totally relate to what Kayla was just saying, and I was just recalling at the very beginning of 2020, like before, you know, most people even knew that COVID was coming, but I started the year feeling overwhelmed, and I kept saying over and over again to my husband, I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed, I feel overwhelmed, but nothing was changing. And so I started counseling, and the very first, you know, session was all about boundaries and do I have good boundaries in place? And am I saying yes to things I need to be saying no to? And am I asking for help when I need it? And so all of that like totally resonates with me, like, oh yes, this is a healthy way to not keep myself on the bottom of the list and to not burn out. And I did have to crash and burn before I really stopped to think about the boundaries that I had or didn't have in place. And so in that way, I think it's very healthy, and it helps so much with expectations too, in relationship with people, you know, hey, here's my boundary, you know, like this is where we are, this is how we function. And that works for both people. But I also think that there is a boundary that needs to be a hard line in harmful situations that, you know, I just want to be super clear about that, because I think that's something that I have struggled with when it comes to boundaries and what it means to have boundaries, especially as a believer, especially as a Christian. Like we, you know, we love everyone and keep the door open and reconciliation and forgiveness and all those things are good and true. But there's a real pushback I see happening from believers and Christ followers within the Christian communities when you say boundaries, like it's a bad word. And boundaries can be super healthy and helpful for relationships. And also boundaries are sometimes just needed when you've been harmed without, you know, like all the, I'm going to make room for you and make room for me. I'm not going to make room for people who harm me.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, Patty, and maybe Kayla or Lindsay, you guys could jump in here. Those are two really good distinctions, and I want to actually get to both, but I'm going to go with the second one first, because I wonder if that second situation, when we're actually being harmed, if it's like less of a boundary that we're kind of instilling or bringing to the situation, and more of a leaving of a toxic, you know what I mean? I think so I guess in my, like, from my perspective, a boundary is something to keep like a relationship healthy, but from what I'm hearing you say is that sometimes a boundary is like, you're actually not allowed in my space at all. And I think I see that not so much as a boundary and more of a like healthy decision of like finality almost. I don't know. Is there a distinction there for y'all?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have full clarity because I'm in process with this, but that's the thing. It's a process. It isn't just like a clear cut, like I'm cutting people out, the end. You know, there is like, oh, okay, I need some time. And I don't, in some cases we can see what happens. In some cases it's not going to change, but at least for right now, like in this season, I do need to be separate from you. And what happens after that, I don't know. So I still view that as a boundary.
Yeah, I think there are personal boundaries and relational boundaries. And I think a boundary is really a way for me to say, like, the personal boundaries is like, this is what I need to do to love myself and to take care of myself. And relationally, this is what I need to do to love me and you. So I don't know that I think of boundaries as always being in the context of relationship, unless I'm thinking about being in relationship with myself and really caring for myself.
Yeah, I like that. I like mm-hmm. that a lot. I think that to kind of speak to what that first part that you said, Patty, Brené Brown has this, you know, she does so much research around shame and vulnerability, and boundaries are something that she really tackles hard. And she has this quote that says, when we fail to set boundaries and hold people accountable, we feel used and mistreated. This is why we sometimes attack who they are, which is far more hurtful than addressing a behavior or a choice. And I really liked this distinction because, like, going back to what you said, Kayla, as a mom, that happens. That happens on a regular, where you get so kind of overwhelmed and burned out that eventually you're just like exhausted to the point of just reaction being, you know, everything being a reaction versus like a decision or like a thought out thing. And I really love this idea of boundaries helping to keep relationships healthy, because you're not getting to that point and you don't attack the person. And, you know, a lot of times for a lot of people, a spouse is the first person that gets to like, ah! But you know, it could be kids, it could be a friend, it could be. So I like this idea that boundaries help us address behaviors versus making it about a person. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Have you always seen it like that? That was actually something that was very kind of eye-opening and helpful for me. To read that.
My experience with this is loving people who have difficult behaviors. And so in that sense, I think I've had to differentiate the person from the behavior and to acknowledge like the behavior is not the person, right? That's not like the totality of who they are. And this behavior is unacceptable in that it's harming me and it's harming our relationship. So I have to put a boundary up regarding this behavior, but that doesn't mean I don't love you or I don't like you as a person. A quote that comes to mind for me is Prentice Hemphill, who hosts the Finding Our Way podcast, said, it's been a few episodes back, that bitterness is a sign that you've given too much of yourself. And I think about that a lot because that I think it's common for anyone who caretakes, right? Whether you're a parent or a teacher or in the helping profession, you're, like Kayla said, giving and giving and giving, and you can give until you're bitter. And so I have tried to pay close attention to that feeling when bitterness starts to creep in of like, why is the sink full of dishes when everyone in this house knows how to wash dishes? Like, how is this a thing that is happening right now? And then I stand there and wash the dishes and I just get bitter and more bitter and more bitter. And so that's a sign, right, to me, to pay attention to that and to go, oh, I'm giving too much of myself. Why? And like, what's the boundary? What is the boundary that needs to be put in place regarding dishes? So yeah, that's kind of how I think about it, about the difference between behavior and person. And anybody who's had to love someone with difficult behaviors, you either end up there or you end up no longer loving your person, right? And that's not the direction that we want to go.
There seems to be just like a level of exhaustion that comes over me in just thinking about like the different relationships and the different kinds of boundaries for the type of relationship or the person or the, do you think there's like some sort of like hierarchy of priority? You know, like, do we need to work on having boundaries for every single relationship that we have? Or are there, you know, are there some, Does this make sense? It just feels like, okay, do we make boundaries with everybody then, you know?
It feels overwhelming to me too, Elisa, because like one more thing, and I don't know, I know so many people and I have so many different types of relationship. And then there's like boundary with institutions too, like church boundary, work boundary, family boundary, friend. I mean, it just like feels like a lot to try to figure out.
This might not be relevant, but what I'm thinking is if Okay, so if boundaries are a way to distinguish where I end and you begin, and a way for me to say, this is how I'm going to love myself and love you, that should not be in a healthy relationship. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong about this. I don't feel like in a healthy relationship, that's an ongoing conversation. So if I set a boundary with you and I have to keep having that conversation with you, that's a problem. And that means we're going to move on to a different conversation, which is what Patty was talking about earlier, which is like, this relationship isn't working. And, you know, that's going to be a different timeline, a different conversation for all those different relationships. But I guess I'm just thinking, generally speaking, how I love myself and how I love other people doesn't change super dramatically between the type of person. But if it's an ongoing conversation, that's where it gets problematic. So I can see, Kayla, what you're saying about all the different relationships. But I think just generally speaking, if you're like, okay, this is what I need, and I state that in whatever way is appropriate for the relationship, it shouldn't be like this. If it's a continual back and forth, then that's a relationship that needs, or an institution maybe, that needs examining.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
It also begs the question, like, are we even at the space where we're asking ourselves what we need? Like, it almost sounds like, wait, before you get to these conversations that you're having with people, are we even like in a place where we're saying like, yeah, but what do I need to be healthy and be my best self so that I can give to these relationships in a way that is fruitful for both myself and that other person?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because I do think that for myself, it has looked very different in different spaces. I totally agree with what Lindsay said, that it should not be an ongoing, this is my boundary, this is my boundary, this is my boundary. But I think that there are certain situations where I don't ask myself that question to start out with. I don't know what my boundary should be. And then again, for me, I think so much of it has to do with expectations. So I don't go in with having boundaries set or what I need set. And then I set up for, you know, problem down the road, you know, oh, and with motherhood, well, you know, I'm supposed to be like this martyr of a mom, you know, like if that's the idea that I'm going into motherhood with, then I don't say no to my kids, or I don't take time for myself because their needs come first. And, you know, like I just say yes all the time. Or if I'm in a church space, you know, we're supposed to, you know, be in these authentic relationships and community. And what does that mean? You know, and I'm here, I'm available. I'll serve, I'll wear this hat, I'll do this thing, I'll do everything. So I think it's like a lot of backtracking, like, oh, I started out on this path, thought I could do it, realized I couldn't. Oh, crap. How can I correct? How can I course correct now? Now I need a boundary. Like, now I need some good boundaries, because this is not working.
I mean,
so when you guys all set a boundary, like, what does that mean exactly? Like, when we say setting boundaries, are you like, no, I'm not going to come to this event? Like, what does that actually look like? Do you use the word boundary in your conversation?
Yeah, and do you have these conversations? Like, do you have boundary conversations?
Like, I need a master class in boundaries. Because help me.
I'm pretty sure, like, my original method of passive aggressiveness ain't, like, really boundary setting. So what does this look like, sound like?
I'll go, and then Patty, if you want to add too. I mean, I think, again, to the relationship conversation, it does depend on who you're talking to, right? So, like, with my kids, I do use the word boundary. And I love it when, like, my youngest is very big on, like, bodily autonomy. And so if a sibling touches her and she says no and they don't back off, she will say, "You are not respecting my boundary." So I use that word with my kids.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah, I use the boundary word with my kids. And like, just example, real life example for to answer Kayla's question, like, I cannot parent after 8:30 p.m. Like, I just can't. I have no more patience left. I have no more grace left. I can't do it. And I will tell my kids that, like, look, after 8:30, like, don't count on me to parent you. Like, and my kids are older now, you know, and if there was an actual situation that needed parenting, of course I would do that. But I do say to them, like, you know, after 8:30, mom is pretty much off the clock. So do all the parenting questioning that you need before then.
I like that. So I'm headed towards that season because I realized that when I had a lot of little kids, 8:30 was like bedtime. Mm-hmm. And now I have a lot of big kids and they're never asleep. And so, right. And I have because teenage land was such a dumpster fire for me, I have this weird, and it's probably not weird. I have this priority that I want to be available when they're ready to talk about
whatever
it is. But what that means is I'm stretched from the minute I get up, Junior leaves very early in the morning, all the way until I go to bed, sometimes before them. And that's, yeah.
Another real life example is that Saturday is my Sabbath and I don't do things on Saturday. My kids call it the do-nothing day because we get donuts every Saturday. So it's do-nothing day. But like literally I don't go to the grocery. If there's a pile of clothes on the floor, I don't pick it up. I don't do meetings. I don't do anything on Saturday. And that has taken like years of discipline, right? Like it's a discipline to not do things on Saturday. But I know that if I'm going to function the way that I want to function the rest of the week and for my family too, like I want to set these rhythms in place for us of rest, that's really important. So that's another quote. I would consider that a boundary, but I don't call it a boundary necessarily.
That is really helpful and really cool to think about how this boundary is really a spiritual discipline, right? Of observing the Sabbath, of resting, of incorporating these rhythms of, I just like a deep exhale, you know? And I really appreciate that you said it like takes a long time. It's not just like, okay, this one Saturday, like everything's going to change. Like if only that would be, if we could as humans kind of shift and change like that.
It's totally ongoing. Like I come back to this all the time. Like I continue to come back to the same place. I think I might have a good boundary in place. And then I realize that I might need to adjust, or I have a good boundary in place in one area. And then I have no boundary in place in another area. So it's, you know, it's something that I personally keep working on. And I think that's also a good point that boundaries can be adjusted and changed and they're not this like finite, like unless it needs to be, like, you know, we said earlier, it doesn't always have to be this like finite thing. Like I'm putting up a boundary and like, that's it forever. I think that it's hard, like, cause I mean, I fall into the same thing. Like it hurts if someone puts up a boundary, but then I also know that it's necessary. So then the question I ask is, like, why would I be hurt that someone is saying, I love you enough to tell you what I need? Like, you know, like, why am I taking that personally? Like, it's a rejection, you know, like, thank you for being, like, this is something I wish I could say I've arrived, but like, why not take that as thank you for trusting me and telling me what you really need so that we can, if we're talking about a relational, you know, situation, so we can be in relationship together in a better, healthier way. And so, yeah, that's just something that I'm thinking about is boundaries seem to just have this negative connotation, you know, like even if it's an unspoken 5:13 and my workday ends at 5 and I didn't respond to the text, good for me, but I still feel bad. Because, oh, it only would have taken a minute to respond. You know, I could have just done it. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's only 13 minutes after my day ends. But then, like, what pattern does that set up for me? You know, so I just feel like it's just constantly like this, which you started the conversation with, like, boundaries can be healthy and good, but it's still so hard to get past that understanding that I think most people associate with boundaries as, you know, you're rigid or you cut people out. Or, you know, you just you don't let any, you know, you have these walls up, you know, whatever it is, instead of being like, hey, I love me and I love you enough to say this is what it is.
I think that is such a healthy way to approach it. And I've never heard somebody say that when setting a boundary. Like, usually it's just like a nah, or like a ghost, or like Elisa said, passive aggressive. And maybe it's because people are coming out of it from a like, I'm burnt out for like a thousand different things, and not so much like naming what reactionary. I need to be healthy. And like, I love me and I love you. Yeah, it's reactionary. So I think that's amazing if people are to that point where they can say like, this is what I need, you know, I value you. But I'm not sure as humans we're doing that very well. At least what I've received.
I like that we keep coming back to this idea of being of a boundary really being communicating what we need. And I just keep thinking, well, like, it's something that I talk to my kids about all the time, because I feel like it, when we don't articulate our needs, that's a place where there can be a lot of confusion and like relational strife and all these things. And so I'm always saying to my kids, like, okay, but what do you need? Like, say what you need. And then I go to therapy, and the very last thing my therapist says to me is, what do you need right now? And I'm like, I have no idea what I need. Because, like, what you guys are saying, we're not really, I don't think any of us grew up in families where those words were utilized. At least I wasn't. Like, I don't remember anyone as a kid necessarily saying, like, what do you need, and coaching me and teaching me how to articulate my needs. And then for those of us who have grown up in female bodies, in church culture, there's like these added layers of like, you suppress your needs actually, because you're created to meet the needs of other people. That's like why you're on the planet. And so there's this double whammy, I think, of unlearning that we have to do in terms of being able to articulate our needs, and also seeing ourselves as not being tied to productivity or service.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the need conversation is a key.
And I think back to what Patty said at the beginning, like for women, for moms, that's just a whole other layer. That's why, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to Shannon in her book from a couple of episodes back. I mean, she flat out is not just giving permission for women to like think about what they need, but she's like almost in that book, like demanding it. The whole book is about like, yeah, what about you? what about you? What about your spirituality? And how does that then become something that's freeing? When you take time to think about, wait a second, in these different spaces, what is it that I need? And when you articulate that, you end up becoming a more full version of yourself, but also freer to move about in these relationships in healthier ways.
I think it's also just so much unlearning, because it can feel, for me at least, inherently selfish to put up boundaries. It just feels really selfish, because there's this idea that, I don't know, probably a me thing, but just like, oh, I'm a bad person now. You know, I'm a bad person because I said this is what I will and will not, you know, tolerate, or this is what I do need or what I don't need, because I don't know how the other person will respond necessarily, you know. And, you know, I've had like those situations come up, and this is like a whole other can of worms, but like on social media, it's really an interesting place, which we all know. But it's interesting when I'm not saying, and we've talked about this before too, when we're talking to or interacting with strangers on the internet, that we don't want to demonize anyone. We don't want to be keyboard warriors. We don't want to cut people down. But for me personally, I think it's a little odd that some people wear like a badge of honor that they still interact with trolls and people who are just super harmful. And I'm like, I don't personally get that. Like, I, in spite of how it might, you know, mess with the algorithm or, you know, reach or whatever. Like when I made the decision to limit my comments to only people who follow me, that was the best decision ever, because that was a boundary I needed, because I was getting a lot of just really harmful things. And even if it wasn't a lot, just it was too much for me. And so I just think it's kind of like a strange thing where it's every boundary isn't about cutting people down or making other people out to be some kind of horrible monster. But why do we feel like it's like an awesome thing to wear not having boundaries as some cool thing, you know? Like it's just like, oh, I can take a punch, look at me. And it's just hard. Like sometimes it's just hard. I mean, and because you don't know what's going to happen. Like I have had this conversation with someone in the last 6 months where I had to say, I love you, but I don't know how to do this. So what I need right now is time and space. And I walked away not knowing where that would lead us. But that was like the truest thing that I know I needed, you know? So I know those two very like different examples, but I think that it just, for me, it feels so selfish. Like, I don't know. I don't have the energy to respond to this person text right now. I'm a bad person. You know, like that's where my mind goes.
It's not selfish, Patty. I just want to say that. It's not selfish. And like Jesus got in a boat, y'all, and went out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee to get away from people.
He's so, like, boy, bye. Yes. Bye.
So if we need permission, to be disciplined about our boundaries for the sake of loving ourselves, like Jesus fully gave it and gives it to us.
I had just pulled up Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places.
Yes.
I'm out. Yeah. There's my boundary.
I'm out. Right. But I feel like that's not the Jesus. But I feel like that's not like the Jesus that we see in Christian culture, which is the problem there. You know?
Yeah.
It's the Jesus that like, oh, we just focus on Jesus on the cross and be a martyr for everybody in the broken world. Jesus, not the Jesus who actually modeled exactly what this could and should look like.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, when we create a boundary, what is the root of that? Like, for me, creating a boundary where somebody has been hurt or harmed and I need to like protect them or even protect myself because I know like a person isn't healthy, like that's so easy for me. I'm like, no nonsense, get out of here, like go all the way away. But it's like those ambiguous things where I start to feel like, Patty, what you were saying, like, oh, I don't know, like, because it's not as like cut and dry for me. And so like, how do you live open-handed, but also, you know, protect your peace in some way? And it's like, there is not like, the Bible doesn't give us like a step-by-step tutorial, but we can model our life after Christ. And try to integrate, you know, those rhythms, like what Lindsay was saying of like actually observing the Sabbath in some way. Like,
yeah. And I think a helpful question is, what's the most loving thing to do in this situation? Because the Bible doesn't give us directions on nothing, really. We like to pretend that it does, but really there's not a whole lot of direction in there. But what we do see, we see Jesus getting in a boat and going the heck away from his disciples, and like what Kayla just read, often getting away, right? And we see Jesus tired and deciding to minister to people anyway. Like, so there's both. And I think the question that we can ask ourselves to help determine which moment is this for us, is this a get in the boat and get out moment, or is this a do it anyway even though I'm tired and hungry moment, is like, what's the most loving thing to do? And not just for the other person, but for myself. Because if I'm gonna honor the divine in myself, what does that look like too? You know, it's not just whether it's a person or a text or whatever it is, the decision that we're making, what's the most loving thing in this situation? Also knowing our value is not wrapped up in whatever decision we make.
one of the things that you recently said, because that was just straight fire, Lindsay, I'm going to say that. But another thing that you said recently that was straight fire was that you said that when in thinking about boundaries, sometimes it's helpful to think of boundaries as a way of acknowledging what is my work and what is God's work. You know, like in this situation, what's my work to do? And like, what is like in this situation really like sincerely out of my hands? Like, this is not something that is either possible for me to do or even just like my lane. And I think that that's really, you know, as people of faith, like this is like this upside down podcast, we're coming at these topics, at these persistence topics through this lens of our Christianity, of our Christian faith. And if we're not asking, okay, but like some things in relationships, you know, it's going to take God's hand. It's God's time, God's work, and asking ourselves, like, what part of this am I required, or is it good for me to cooperate with God's grace and his help and his understanding in this relationship? And what's just like really not mine to do? What headspace were you in when you were thinking that, Lindsay?
She was in genius mode, her usual.
Genius, Lindsay.
No. I think so. What I was thinking just now, as you were saying that, is the ease with which those of us who live in white bodies or who carry some privilege can fall into a savior mentality. And even those of us with good intentions and who want to love our neighbors and all of those things, like, it's just really easy to think like, oh, well, I have to do the thing, right? Because like, I'm here to save people, whether we say that out loud in those exact words or not. And so I think my like commitment to living in solidarity with folks who find themselves on the margins has like forced me to reckon with the ways that I have carried some saviorism and ask that question of like, what is my work and what is God's work? And so it wasn't any sort of like genius or divine revelation on my part, so much as it was like putting myself in a position where literally I can humanly do nothing to better this situation for my neighbor. We together have to rely on God. And I don't think our listeners do this, but like also not to use that as a crutch, like, oh, well, that's in God's hands, nothing I can do. Well, no, actually there's some things, right? So it's just, it's just, I think, being in tune with the most loving decision that we can make, but also our human propensity towards wanting to be the savior or the hero of the story and recognizing that's not us, that's Jesus.
Yeah, and I think another perspective to that, that I actually just got off a call with a group of Black men and women, and one of the women was just straight up whacking me upside the head with her convicting words. But there, you know, there are so many cultural ties to this for me also as a Black woman. Like, oh, I'm supposed to be superwoman and carry all the burdens on my shoulders. And that just, in that way, I have to let God be God. Like, I just, you know, I have to let God be God. But there is this thing that I carry that I have to do it all. Like, if it is, you know, like on a deeply like cultural level, like, you know, the strong Black woman, you know, got to do all the things and, you know, got to carry the burden, got to carry the load, you know, like all that we've overcome, all that's against us. Like, I've got to keep going. I've got to keep doing. I've got to keep, you know, showing up in these different spaces and being the best and then doing extra so that people see that I'm, you know, like I'm here. And so like, that's just really hard for me to just be like, I got to let God be God. I am not superwoman. And I'm not strong all the time, and I don't have to be strong all the time. So that's what I think about is, you know, when I think of that question is, you know, I'm still human, and that's okay. Like, that's not a deficit. That is the reality. But it really, it's hard to just take my hands off of things for that reason.
So Patty, as you're talking and I'm thinking, yeah, like there is this cultural aspect too, because like we're taught to like seek approval by, you know, being one of the good ones, I guess, like, oh, you know, like they, you know, like they showed up and they're articulate, you know, like all these ridiculous things. And it kind of speaks to this idea that we always have to perform in order for us to be taken seriously or having value and all of that. Are there some things that each of you can speak to, or maybe a couple of you can speak to, as far as like some signs, some like clear signs that maybe a boundary needs to be put in place, like for you individually or just in generally? Are there some like slow warning signs that we want to put a boundary in place before it gets to like that point of no return?
Yeah, I think, I share at the beginning that when I'm at the point of saying I'm overwhelmed all the time, it's probably too late. But I can feel when it comes to like the doing of things, you know, when I can feel a bit of resentment starting to creep in, when I feel like, why am I the only one seeing this? Why am I the only one doing this? You know, then I'm like, maybe I just need to back off from whatever this is. And I'm holding on to this thing too tightly. And that's just one thing that comes up for me, because it's still, you know, being able to let things go and take my hands off of things is a boundary I have to remind myself of. And so, yeah, I think that's like something that creeps in when I'm like trying to do all the things, but not with a good motive, you know, like not, oh, I'm just trying to be helpful, but like I have to do it because I'm getting resentful because it's not getting done.
That's really good. So as we're closing for tonight, why, since the theme of this season is persistence, why for you guys is it important to persist in boundaries? Like why, like we could, there, we have all sorts of ideas of what we want to persist in. Why was this like such a big one for us that we're like, yeah, we're doing boundaries. We need to persist in boundaries. Why is this something for y'all that you think is necessary and fruitful to be discussing?
Longevity. And I say that because as I was listening to Patty talk about sort of the cultural expectations that have been put on her as a Black woman, I was just thinking like, no, I want you to rest because I want you to be around for a really long time. And so I think that's what I want for the four of us. It's what I want for our community, is longevity and sustainability, and not just a surviving, but a thriving. And I think that's what God wants for us too. So yeah, I think longevity for all of us to be around for a long time.
Thanks, Lindsay. I received that. It is so true. I think of this conversation being so important and boundaries being so important to persist in, because I want to love myself and love others well. And I see boundaries as a part of that love. For me personally, the last 10 months has been an integral part of my self-care. And I don't know that I could be on the path to healing without having boundaries in place. So it's been an act of like a radical act of self-love for me, so that I can love the people in my life, you know, you all, my family and friends well. And it really comes from a place of love. Not always, like I said, this like wagging finger, like stay away, but it's because I love you and I love me.
Alisa, at the beginning of the show, you were like, I have some things to say. So what about you?
Yeah, I think actually I've seen the fruit of this in a couple of my relationships. I've seen how relationships that were really hard, when I just finally got to the point where I didn't have another answer and I just really did ask, what do I need? I'm the firstborn of the family, you know, and I take a lot on that I probably don't need to in a lot of situations. And when I just really, for me, it was out of necessity. I had to ask myself, okay, but what do I need? And then when I put those things in place, these relationships where I didn't have to say it out loud, but there were just some things, some moves I made, I actually saw some fruit and I saw the beauty of how relationships can be healthier. When it's not doing things reactionary or it's not doing things out of resentment, it's just like, hey, this is, like Patty said, this is what I need to love you well, but also to love me well. So that's why I think that it really is something, if you're doing it from a good posture and that's not like, you know, a selfish posture, like I'm not doing anything for anybody because I just want to hang out and scroll on the internet. But I think that most of the people I know, certainly you guys and our listeners and our Patreons and our patrons, these are all people who are like really, really doing the work. These are people who are doing the work. And I think if you're doing it from the perspective or from the posture of like, I want to love well, I want to love God well, I want to love my neighbor well, I want to love myself, my family, This is one of those tools in our tool belt that I think gets overlooked and not really, like you said, Patty, just you're kind of seen as selfish, but I think that it does. There is different fruit to it. So yeah.
Kayla Craig.
Oh, I just feel like I'm the student in this masterclass right now. Like I'm learning. And I think like when I thought boundaries, I'm like, ooh, I don't know. But then the more I think about it, the more I realize I have so many integrated boundaries in my everyday. I just don't name it. This is a boundary. Like what Lindsay was saying, like when you get into these rhythms, you probably have more boundaries in your life than you know. You know, and it's only when there's a tension point that needs to be even like rethought, verbalized, you know. So I think like it is our natural rhythm of life to have different boundaries. And it's like when those boundaries start to get blurred, that's when we have to like reassess and figure out like what's going on. How can I care for myself and care for others in a holistic manner where everybody is flourishing? So I think it's always a learning and a relearning and a reordering of our...
And everything that I read said that. Like it's fluid, it's changing, it's, you know, it's not this thing that is set in stone. I think that's what Patty said. So yeah, it's something that evolves and, you know, from person to person, relationship to relationship. So there's not like one hard and fast rule. Yeah, I think that's a great point. Well, this has been fruitful as usual. I wish we could have the four of us on every single conversation because I feel like it's such a y'aller. It's such a good vibe, and it's I always walk away having learned a lot, and kind of I'm always re-energized to kind of like dig in to whatever it is. So yeah, I loved seeing you guys tonight.
Yeah, and before we go, I just want to give an on-air shout out to Kat Kaya, who is our show notes writer. She's incredible. And I think this is going to be like a very robust show notes, judging by all the work that Elisa did behind the scenes. So make sure that when you're pulling up your podcast app, you do take a look at that because they're full. And, you know, Patty is right there sharing on socials, and yeah, we want to hear from you. Like this is a real life conversation and like happening at real time, like with us bringing our whole selves. So let us know what you think. You can do that. We have a listener group, Upside Down Together. It's on Facebook. Just knock on the door and we'll let you in. We're Upside Down Podcast on Instagram. We have a website, upsidedownpodcast.com. And as Lisa mentioned, the Patreons make everything possible. We're super, super, super grateful for you. And we'll see you next time.